Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope.
It's the only show with better than average gas mileage.
I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
it's time for another Nerd Roundtable. Jared takes a look at Men in Black 3, and Adam is out, Earl is in for this holiday weekend. Stick around.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hello, Scope faithful. Episode 124 is starting right now.
Yeah.
We've got the live stream going, two cameras. We've got Earl in the house replacing Adam.
Yeah.
Yo.
Who is supposed to be on some sort of bike ride. But as we all know here in Minneapolis, it's more like monsoon season. And
sorry, I'm just laughing because the stream thing is crashing and burning at this moment.
Oh my goodness!
Oh well, we're stuck with it. I'll just I may have to abort. But carry on.
I wonder if Adam has floaties attached to his bike. Maybe it's some sort of pontoon situation.
I've seen those boats that have the big plastic tires that go on the water.
Yeah, that's probably what he's rocking right now. Jared, please.
What?
The whole system isn't crashing, is it?
Well, I'm just looking at this. It's just completely like a mosaic, and it's a mess at this point.
Can people hear things?
I don't think so. I don't think anything's working.
Compelling radio.
Oh. I don't know.
It's good stuff. This is what people have come to expect in the 18 years we've been doing this show, Earl. So, we've gotten about as much rain this month as we have in the last how many months, Jared? Normal months. Is that like a summer's worth of rain we've gotten?
I don't know what the actual numbers are. You'll have to fill me in on that.
I think we're somewhere at about 8.5 inches for the month of May, which
Seriously?
Is a lot of rain.
That is insane.
I think the record is somewhere around 10.5, and they're saying we could very well hit that by the end of the weekend.
Oh, man.
So,
can't deal with it. It's too much.
It's rain. Any flooding in your basement, Jared?
I actually do have a little bit of water I'm dealing with. It's kind of sucks. It's not a whole lot. It's just a little bit in the back storage room, but...
Water
it's
nonetheless.
I need a break so I can go out and kind of do some triage. It's been so wet, I haven't had a chance to clean the gutters.
You can't even
And now
do
I gotta,
it.
I just have to get out there and
you
do
gotta
it.
You got to get out there. There's probably a rainforest growing in the gutters. There's so much rain
nice.
Sprouting those seeds.
Well, I traditionally wait until, because I have a giant silver maple tree in the backyard, and I traditionally wait until all those stupid little helicopter seeds drop.
Sure.
And then as soon as they were done, the monsoon season started.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, how do you get out there and do work?
But just for the record, guys, they're expecting more rain, heavy rain tonight, severe weather. Tomorrow, about 90 to 95, with a chance of major severe weather in the evening. So, Memorial Day this, bitches.
I'm seeing only 88 tomorrow, Shane.
Oh,
only
boy.
88 on my weather feed.
Well, Paul Douglas on my Twitter feed.
He's a weather terrorist.
He's a weather terrorist. He's already upping at a good 5 to 6 degrees higher than what people are saying. But Earl is here. Earl, you've picked a good day to show up. We're doing a nerd roundtable.
Oh, dynamite.
Which means we're all nerds here. We do not have an actual roundtable. But I think the topics will be so compelling that it won't matter what polygon our table happens
to
be.
I'm sweating in anticipation.
Rectangular, by the way.
It might just be the humidity, Earl. That's why you're sweating.
Before we move on in the show, Jared, I do want to ask you, because this is an ongoing saga with you. In the front side of your house, there's this big... terribly ugly pick-em-up truck out there, parked right where I normally park. Could you tell a story about that truck and kind of give us the lay of the land on that and maybe where it's going? Because I'm curious.
There are some updates.
Okay,
so
good.
It's sort of been sitting there for, I would say, 2 to 3 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
And not in exactly the same spot. It started its journey... probably 10 feet back from where it sits now.
Okay.
It now sits about 2 feet right from where my sidewalk meets the curb.
Yes.
And so it's moved a couple times forward. I'm not home, obviously, during the day, so I don't know if it ever leaves and comes back.
Sure. Can we describe the look of this truck, by the way?
It's like an old GMC pickup. It's rusted out. It's got, the bed cover in the back, the little camper trailer thing, but the flap that you would open to get to is kind of broken, so it's just open to the world.
I see a construction hard hat in there, so it seems like this is maybe a construction-type worker's truck.
It's been sitting there for ages, and I don't know if it actually leaves and comes back. But I was getting set to call our local constabulary on Friday.
Wow, that is a hell of a word. That sounds like a steampunk reference. Constabulatory.
But before I did, I noticed one of Richfield's finest was actually parked behind it.
Really?
And I'm assuming taking note of license plates and whatnot and all that good stuff. And then I noticed later that there was actually a little red and white envelope on the window, which I'm assuming is a parking ticket. Now, this morning, I looked at it again. The parking ticket, I can't tell if it's dissolved in the rain. or
part of the monsoon season, it's actually acid rain.
Somebody has removed it, but there are still remnants stuck to the window.
Okay.
So it almost looked like it maybe was stuck down and I ripped it off or something.
Gotcha.
Like that. Truck's still there, though. So I can only assume that the police are aware of it. They're paying attention to it. And it's counting down the hours until the wrecker comes out and tows it away.
So it's a good chance someone probably called in on that truck.
Probably.
Do you think it's the neighbors right across the street?
Possibly.
I don't understand why they're not parking on their side of the street, then.
I don't.
Maybe it's easier for them to get out of the freeway.
No, you asked me. I was confused on who you're... neighbors right across the street from me?
Yes.
In the blue house?
Yes.
I don't believe it's
north of us.
I don't believe it's their vehicle. No.
Okay.
No.
So maybe they called.
Because I've seen all of their vehicles come and go and stuff like that. I've never seen this truck before. So it's possible they called. I'm assuming it's somebody who lives on 12th somewhere, or staying with someone who lives on 12th. And since 12th, there's really only one side you can park on.
Gotcha.
They probably, A, didn't want to park their vehicle for days on end in a more obvious street,
mm-hmm.
and B, just decided to park on one of the side streets closest to, and I don't know what's going on.
So
I hope it's gone soon.
You had days off? You did not see anyone?
I've not seen it move in the last 3 days.
Well, I would, if I were you, I definitely would probably call the police myself, just because squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yeah.
The more people they know that are being annoyed by this vehicle, the better off you are.
You know, and it's like, I don't have a problem with parking on city streets, but you can't just park there for weeks on end and not move your car. There was another car across to me to the east on 12th Avenue that was like a little shitty Japanese hatchback car. One of the windows had been broken out of it, and they had, you know, put plastic over it.
Sure.
But it like sat there for abandoned for about a week, but then it disappeared. I'm assuming it got towed away as well.
Gotcha.
So, I don't know what it is about this block that's attracting derelict vehicles, but it's very strange.
Well, keep us posted. I might take a picture of that and put that on the Scope website or the Scope Facebook page, just because maybe the people that own it will see it and become fans of the show and then also move their vehicle.
There you go.
Well, Earl, we've got a great show. You're going to get a lot of talking in the next segment. We're doing our famous Nerd Roundtable. We have not done that in probably 6 months or so.
Holy smokes.
It's going to be summer entertainment related, so I'm excited about that. We also have a movie review from both you and Jared. You guys saw I don't know if it's a sneak peek of Men in Black 3, but you certainly did. You saw it on Thursday night, right? 12 or Sunday or Friday night at midnight.
Yeah, I was there already. I wasn't planning to see it then, but I was there seeing Cabin in the Woods.
You're gonna talk about that too?
I wasn't gonna review it because it's old. But
okay. Did you like it?
I thought it was really good.
Okay.
But anyway,
reviewed, done.
But anyway, it got out early enough. I'm like, well, I was just gonna thinking of seeing Men in Black 3 anyway, and here I am. Might as well go. I got nothing to get up for tomorrow. So
were you dressed in black when you?
No, okay. I was not.
Well, that takes away a little bit of the charm and lure.
Certainly does.
So we're really excited about that, and we've got an abbreviated coming soon, and no news, but you know what? If Adam's not here, sometimes you just got to pass that up. So very, very excited about episode 124. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with Nerd Roundtable right after this.
Got questions? Tony's got answers. It's time for Ask Tony.
Dear Tony, I'm having a difficult time deciding on the Intel processor or the AMD processor. If I am running an ATI X1800 PCI Express graphics card, what would be the best choice? Signed, PC Lover in Louisiana.
Dear PC, I'm not positive, but it sounds like you're some sort of supercomputer, maybe even a sentient robot. As you know, I'm simply a suave Lothario with a voice of pure velvet. Technology scares me, but I will tell you this. Stay away, Mr. Roboto. If you even think about taking over Earth, wiping out humanity in a bloody massacre with your terminations and your three CPOs, I'll fight you to my dying breath! My dying breath, damn it! Humanity will live on, so says Tony Partington! I'm grateful for your letter, Johnny Five. Remember to keep those circuit boards clean and to always listen to The Scope. If you would like me, Tony Partington, to impose my advice on you and set you on a path to glory, send your tales of woe and misery to asktony@thescopeshow.com. I promise not to be too destructive, but let's face it, the truth hurts. And it hurts some of you more than others. Now, back to The Scope.
Start talking whenever you want.
All right.
We never get this right.
I forget. We haven't done it in a while. The Scope is back with the Nerd Roundtable. It's a time when we discuss all appropriate topics dedicated to nerds and geeks and pop culture aficionados everywhere. And I salute the table of the round nerd. I don't know. I just like it. I just feel like it's the beginning of the Michael Bay movie Pearl Harbor or something.
Right. Got anything else to say?
I do have something else to say. Jared, did you know that on the podcast Bullseye, they have like a fake news segment?
Yes.
And that fake news
Casper
segment
Hauser
that
news.
Uses the same segment that SoundBed that we've been using for years.
I've heard a lot of people use it. It's just part of the GarageBand package.
I believe so. We used it first.
Very possible.
I believe it.
Thank you, Earl.
You got ahead of the game, man.
Very ahead of it. I'm going to take a sip of water while the patriotism continues.
I can end it whenever I have an ending sting. You ready?
Eyewitness Scope ends. Okay, so Nerd Roundtable.
What was that from? That music's from, what, Face the Nation or no?
It's it's something like that.
Now, Face the Nation was a little tougher.
But it's like an older version of something. I don't know what it is. One of those Sunday morning shows.
A kindler, gentler Face the Nation. So Nerd Roundtable starts now. Earl, I don't know if this is a topic that you're going to be able to participate in, because I did not know you would be here, but I think it's important. Number one, Jared, the 2011... -12 TV season is officially over as of Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Name your favorite shows and your biggest disappointments of the TV season.
Oh, biggest favorite shows.
Favorite shows. I've got two.
Yeah. I'm going to go one drama, one comedy.
Okay.
Favorite drama, you have to go Game of Thrones.
You do.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't say keep it to network stuff, so...
Yeah, I'm fine with
Game of Thrones is fantastic, although I really enjoy Breaking Bad as well. Even though that was more of a kind of summer into early fall 2011.
Gotcha. So, and it's starting. It's starting soon.
I think it starts in July or August. Okay. That's usually.
But this summer.
Yep. Favorite comedy. I'm going with a brand new one. I really liked New Girl. I felt it found its stride and its voice within five episodes and just kept getting better and better throughout the season. Not always super great. I mean, there's always a downer episode that isn't quite up to the same level, but. For the most part, I really, really like that show. And it's one that Angie and I get to watch together, so that's always a plus.
Okay, so for me, I'm also going to talk about Game of Thrones. I thought that it's still not over. We got two episodes left of the season.
Only two, though. Oh, boy. I can't, if the things that are going to happen in this next episode actually happen, whoo, you're in for a treat.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a tease for you.
Yeah, it is a really incredible show, Earl, because they're juggling... probably five or six or seven different storylines with characters that have names that you'd never be able to pronounce. It's very, very dense.
Aemery Lorch, Daenerys Targaryen. These are great names.
There's
Jaqen H'ghar.
On a recent Conan, he had a quiz where they gave a name, gave a word, and it was either a character from Game of Thrones or a cheese.
Nice. Jarlsberg.
That was on. That actually was on his patriotism test that he was taking. That you have to. That all immigrants have to pay. Whoa! What was that?
Oh, sorry. That was a phone.
Wow.
That's the cowboy town telling me that somebody wants to fight me.
I say put that sucker on vibrate. But I think Game of Thrones is just how they balance all the intricacies that go on with that show is incredible, and you have to give it props. Another show that ended for me in March, I really like Parenthood, so that pretty much means that I am a middle-aged person. But I just think it's a very nicely balanced show, and they have some moments in there that are like almost like perfection of writing of family dramas and family history and family interaction. So It may not mean anything to you, Jared, mostly because you don't have kids. Earl might be able to appreciate that a little bit more, but it's kind of your standard. It's kind of your standard drama with really interesting characters. So I like that.
You can't beat that.
As for comedies, I think New Girl was really had some solid moments.
Yeah.
It's kind of a toss up for me between New Girl and Parks and Rec. I think Parks and Rec was great again this year. Not as funny as it was last year.
A little more touching, though.
But it had moments.
Some more character moments. And this is, we've talked about this too, and where Parks and Rec does a good job of having character growth and having like real relationships.
Yeah.
And that's always been one of my issues with 30 Rock.
Yeah.
And it just isn't, there's no real character growth that feels genuine. And the relationships just are always there to set up a joke.
It's a goofball, Keystone Cops type of goofball stuff.
Let's just say the shine is off the apple when it comes to 30 Rock.
Shine is off the apple.
I'm kind of happy there's only one 13-episode season to wrap it up.
Yeah, and then now maybe they could actually have real character growth in the last 13 episodes,
sure.
And then it'd be sort of like, why weren't you doing this the whole time?
Yeah.
So, biggest disappointment, or let's go to Earl. Is there any show that you watched that you care to discuss?
I have not had a chance to really catch up on TV. Just with jobs and being home.
But you are aware of this thing called television.
It's television.
I am aware of the television.
People are really
and
talking
on this
about
thing
it.
They show shows.
Talk box, I call it.
Right now, being a stay-at-home dad, my day is mostly Tom and Jerry and Blue's Clues.
Not a lot of new Tom and Jerry, as far as
I will have to say, I think the dog on Blue's Clues is torturing that poor man.
Blue has got a whole agenda that we
camera,
don't even know
He
about.
Looks at the camera like, look how stupid this guy is. Isn't this funny? Wait, I'm going to play another one on him.
You don't think he's talking to you, do you?
No, he's talking to Steve.
Okay, good. I just want to... Whoa. Scary.
Yeah.
So, Jared,
What is the scope? What is the scope's official position on Community? The guy from Community being fired?
I'm disappointed by it.
Yeah, it's a disappointing thing. It's hard to say until you see what the show's going to be, but it's not going to be the same show.
No, and it's disappointing because because the show got picked up for another 13-episode season, and they haven't officially said this, but the reality is they're trying to get enough episodes for syndication.
Sure.
At this point,
but this is only season 4 for it, right?
Yeah.
So they still have to get... Like, maybe they can have less than 100
I'm
for
not
syndication?
Sure, 100 is sort of the ballpark number, but I think if you have, in somewhere in 80, it's still saleable for syndication.
Sure.
So that's really the only reason they're doing it, because the ratings just haven't been great.
No.
They've been terrible, in fact.
Yep.
And they're moving it to Friday, so we're happy to have it back, but then we're unhappy that the guy who brought so much unique creativity
Dan
to
Harmon.
It is Dan Harmon, it has been fired.
Yeah.
Basically.
and the thing was is that from everything that's come out, he's kind of a pain in the ass. He's hard to work with.
Yeah.
But the Community definitely has a vision and a methodology that when it goes to more of a standard type of comedic show, which sometimes it does from because the episodes are so different.
Yeah.
But when it goes towards things that have been done before, the standard, it's not as good
of
a show.
The stuff that you would think would apply or appeal to more of a mass audience.
Yeah. It's just not as good.
No, but when it does the crazy crackballs episodes, those who get it love it. But there's a lot of people who just can't deal with it, and that's why the show never did well in the ratings. So.
I think it's over.
I'll
watch it, but I don't know. I think maybe they'll try to do. Maybe they'll try to be offbeat and wacky and do crazy episodes. But I just don't know if it.
Yeah, we'll see.
That ship may have sailed, Earl. That's our official position.
But I'm sticking with it still.
Yeah, me too.
What am I gonna? There's been calls to boycott. It's like, what are you accomplishing with that?
How does that help poor Joel McHale continue to get his hair transplants?
He's got the soup to fall back on.
I think he probably makes as much on the soup as we do in our jobs. So.
Oh.
I think he'll do just fine after this.
He's savvy.
Yeah.
He's a savvy guy. So, worst shows of the year, Jared, or what disappointed you?
I think for me, probably one of my biggest disappointments was Alcatraz.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It was such a neat premise that could have been a lot of fun, but it just fell into that formula, criminal of the week type format without enough mythology. And some of the mythology even felt really heavy-handed and maybe just not executed very well, and I stopped watching. There wasn't enough character stuff there and decent writing to keep me interested. So
I agree with you.
And now it's canceled, so we'll never know. I have no idea if they did any sort of wrap up at the end.
I didn't follow.
Yeah,
I didn't even read that. I agree with you, Alcatraz. A big disappointment. I'm also disappointed in myself for never watching Person of Interest. Even though
it
said I was,
it got really good.
Did it?
Yeah. some good stuff there.
Well, Earl, when there's eight housewife shows on and your wife runs the TiVo, very difficult to break that pattern.
It sounds like it.
I guess I could also say I was disappointed in Ringer, the show that was my, got to check it out show of the
fall.
And
it got canceled.
It got canceled. I got about five or six episodes in, and I'm like, I want to like this, but there's some clever moments here and there, but just this isn't enough to keep me interested, so I had to drop it.
So what about this new J.J. Abrams show coming this fall?
Revolution. I am on board 100%. It's a dystopian future. With
All power sources, Earl, just stop. All modern power sources, stop.
I heard about this one. That does sound interesting.
I realize that there's some cliche characters and stuff like that. There's potential for that.
Yeah.
You got to have people using bows and arrows now because of Hunger Games, but...
a good year to be an archer teacher.
Yeah, and then CW has Arrow. I don't know why they won't call it Green Arrow. There's a sidebar argument there for why Warner Brothers won't embrace superheroes because, they don't make any money.
Yeah, no kidding.
Bizarre.
Why do you have to,
hide from it?
Yeah.
Well, I hope Revolution ends up being more like Lost and less like Jericho and The Event.
I recall you being a big Jericho fan.
I watched Jericho.
I like Jericho, too. There's been a rumor floating around there that Jericho could come back on Netflix.
That one is bizarre to me.
It's weird. I don't know how you're going to get the cast back, because they're probably doing other things. But
yes,
it's the same reason that Joss Whedon said, there will never be another Firefly, because those people have moved on to other things, and there's no way we can get them back together.
Well, to be fair, I haven't seen Mr. Ulrich doing a lot of work.
Skeet doesn't. That's true.
I mean, look, it's that name.
Skeet's probably ready. He'll come back.
So we'll see. They are doing a Jericho comic book right now that continues the story.
Interesting.
So.
When shows get prematurely canceled, they end up in the comic book land of Dark Horse. Yeah.
That's exactly.
I liked Jericho, but I think you're right. It had a great concept, and it didn't always execute very well.
When they have to go back to the father-son relationship with the son bathing on their faces as they're talking about how they can pull their family closer together.
Yeah.
I don't buy that. So, exciting fall stuff coming up, and we'll discuss that on a different show.
Yeah, we'll have our fall preview, I'm sure. We'll have to do it early because NBC's kicking off some stuff in August.
I know. Nerd Roundtable question number two. Earl, you can get on this one.
All right.
So, guys, are you surprised by the Avengers super success? Just for the record, it's the fastest film to 1 billion worldwide. Number one, 3 weekends in a row here in America, which is unheard of during the summer season. Although it was early, so it was May.
Yeah.
Where will it stop? I think it's number 3 or 4 for overall. Are you surprised? I mean, we talked about the Avengers last year. Both Jared and I said this is our most eagerly anticipated movie for the summer.
Wow.
And I think, of course, as we always do, we called it. I mean, we were right on top of the trend, as we always are. And,
score one for the scope.
And I think I probably said it's going to be at least number 3 overall. But I think that episode does not exist anymore, and you'll never be able to cross-check it.
That's true.
So, Earl, you've talked very little. You do work in the movie industry.
I do.
Are you surprised?
I knew it was going to do big, but I got to say it done bigger than I thought it would. I thought everybody would see it and it would kind of slow down. But the problem is it's getting a second breath because everybody's like, it hit a billion. So everybody's like, I made that much money. I better go see it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you always see that. And you see the people, you're like, you guys have no idea what's going to happen in this film because you're just seeing it because you heard you're supposed to see it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when Borat did good. Suddenly we had senior citizens. Oh, I hear this Borat's funny. And I'm like, now I get the free passes.
You know what they call that, Earl, in the business?
What do they call that in the business, Shane?
They call that word of mouth.
It is word of mouth.
Word of mouth. You're actually, it exists, Jared. It's not just some weird phrase.
And you know what, Shane? That works in any language.
It does. Any language. So,
yeah, but I mean, I gotta admit, I was a little skeptic about the film because of Joss Whedon. I'm not Joss Whedon Kool-Aid drinker, if you pardon the expression.
Sure.
And I was worried they were hiring a name over somebody that could get the job done. But by God, he got the job done. Even if you don't like the film, you have to admire how well it is balanced.
Joss Whedon is one of the biggest comic book fans in Hollywood.
Yeah.
He knows this stuff. So,
and he's great at ensemble stuff, so.
Yeah, and he knocked the ensemble out of there. I mean, there were a couple of moments where it almost became Iron Man 3, but... It held up.
Well, Iron Man is the most popular character out of all of the four movie series that have carried one of these heroes. Iron Man is by far the most popular. I am a little surprised that it's doing this well, just because if you look back at the history, Hulk movie didn't do that great. Thor did good, but not great. Captain America did good, but I think that the reviews on it were still a little uneven.
Sure.
So you're kind of bringing these things together, hoping that, hey, the special sauce that occurs when these things are stir-fried is going to be able to carry it. And it actually did.
Not only that, there are things that are in the movie, in the Avengers, that require you to have seen Thor.
Right.
There's a mythology. I mean, you
maybe not Captain America or even Iron Man for that much, but definitely Thor.
Thor for sure. You've got the little cube from Captain America that pops up.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So.
But even then, it was at the end of Thor's credits, they made a reference to it.
Yes.
And that was the big kicker.
Yeah, I think that this movie just shows that, you know, once you break the mold for bringing heroes together, or once you create that mold, anything is possible. I think that we talked about this last when we reviewed the Avengers, but Warner Brothers has to be looking at this film saying, how can we do this?
No, Warner Brothers is like probably more saying, why is this doing good?
Yeah, that, for a company that, you know,
Warner Brothers
owns
so
DC, yeah, they just...
This is my honest to God theory, just looking at the trend. I still think they go way back to Batman 89 and go, but if you reinvent it, crap on the comic, it does good. But it's just like that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You've got to do something new and different. And Warner Brothers need to get... They've tried like two or three times to put a person in charge of DC properties,
yeah.
But it never seems... No. The guy just vanishes. You never hear about it again.
There's never any consistency. I mean, Marvel has... You know, after they kind of sold their soul by getting rid of X-Men mm-hmm. and Spider-Man and Fantastic Four, they have this roadmap where we're going to start with a B-level character, Iron Man, and we've got an idea where we want that to go, and nothing's going to stop us. That's how we're going to do it, and it's been very successful. And maybe part of it is because they weren't owned by Disney. Early on. I mean, they did it on their own, and they're allowed to continue to do that.
That's what's sort of strange about this, though. I mean, you've got DC, which is owned by Warner Brothers. They have all of the characters in-house.
They can do whatever they want to do.
If they're going to do a DC character movie, it's going to be done by Warner Brothers.
Right.
Yep. So they don't even have to worry about, 20th Century Fox has these characters, Sony has these characters. They have them all.
Yep.
They can do whatever they want. They can do all the world building they want.
And but they choose not to.
And they have two of the most iconic comic book characters ever created, Superman and Batman. And they can't figure it out. I mean, granted, they've had good success with Superman over the years, you know, not necessarily recently. And
the Christopher Reeve Superman.
We'll see what the new Superman does.
I think that's going to be bad, by the way. I hate to judge it ahead of...
Are you ready for my prediction again like I did Transformers? That movie is going to suck.
We'll get there when we get there. I mean, I'm... The director, I forget, I'm blanking
his name. Zack Snyder.
I actually like some of his work, but all the stuff I've seen so far of Superman has not filled me with warm fuzzies, that's for sure. But anyway, and obviously you've got the Christopher Nolan Batman series, which is done really, really well, but it's done in such a realistic way that it doesn't fit into a larger superhero world.
That's kind of like its gift and its curse.
What they will have to do is Superman or Batman will have to be rebooted. If they choose to
build... they've already said they're going to do
that. If they build a universe that has all the superheroes, maybe they take elements from it, but you just have to understand that was its own. That was like like the Dark Knight comic book that was not involved in the regular Batman.
And it doesn't help when they put out a piece of turd like Green Lantern from last summer, which could have been the start. Maybe it was supposed to be their start of their world building, but it was so bad.
It was
terrible. But I think the problem was they wanted to steal a Marvel guy. That's why they went with Ryan Reynolds over Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cooper would have been a much better choice. But the other thing,
Ryan Reynolds would have been fine if they would have made him more like Green Lantern and not like Ryan Reynolds.
If they had just a better story and just a better villain, anything. I mean,
Ryan Reynolds could have been Flash.
Ryan Reynolds is not the Achilles heel of that film.
No,
sorry.
It was a terrible script with special effects that weren't great and a terrible cast beyond him.
Yeah.
You know, Tim Robbins as his father. Come on.
Mark Strong was a good Sinestro.
Okay, I'll give you that. That was about it.
That's about it.
I'm just saying, that was like the only part of the film I did. Like, hey, it's Sinestro. And then, you know, a little clip at the end of the credits.
And then you're like, but it was such a shitty movie, they probably won't get a sequel.
Yeah,
so.
I don't think they should.
Well, right now, Warner Brothers is kind of shooting himself in the foot because, like you said, with the Batman trilogy, they're like, well, we'll just do that and then we'll start a new thing. They're not trying to build anything.
No.
They're just like, well, there's no
real plan.
Yeah,
it's like, this is what we think we'll do.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the animated, direct-to-DVD animated films, which are hit or miss, they're just like, we'll do this Batman, and we'll do a different version of Batman. And sadly, they started out great because they were doing all sorts of aspects, but now it just goes Batman, Superman, popular character. Batman, Superman, popular character.
It's all about making money.
It is. Well, the big news on that front, to sidetrack, is the next Warner Brothers animated film, a two-parter, finally, after all these years, Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns is going to get animated into a film. And I was like, cool. And then it's like, as much as I love Peter Weller's RoboCop, I don't think he's the voice for The Dark Knight Returns Batman. I want Michael Ironside back.
Well, we'll have to see how it goes. But at least they're trying to do something that is historically exciting, Jared.
Right.
I guess so.
I'd rather DC...
Other than doing Watchmen prequels.
Oh, boy. So we all agree that Avengers...
Yes, Avengers.
I agree with the same reasons that you brought up. The films that led up to the Avengers did decent, but they didn't do gangbusters. Yeah. And so I don't think that anyone saw that somehow... that was going to combine into this monster success that it's had. Now, maybe it's because they didn't have any good competition in the following weeks.
Sure.
That, I'm Poor sure, Taylor certainly Kirsch. Helped.
Yeah, well, I mean, Dark Shadow.
Dark Shadows and Battleship.
Battleship.
I mean, maybe they're playing to different audiences, but...
Well, I think the thing is, I think a lot of these films, Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, and all that, I think they found good life on DVD afterwards. Okay. And I think everybody's had a year to catch up on it. Like, hey, what's this? It's on sale. I'll get it. Wow, this is good.
Sure. Maybe that's it.
Are we all in agreement that there should not be a solo Hulk movie? That if you're going to have Hulk...
What?
If you're going to have Hulk, you need to team him up with someone, so...
I'm gonna disagree with that. I think Mark Ruffalo is finally the first person since Bill Bixby to hit Banner right on the head. They finally got the technology to make the Hulk look good and act right. And I'll give credit to Joss Whedon. I think he was the first person to understand Hulk and got it down right.
I agree with you, but I think that Hulk is more successful when he plays off of others, at least in a movie world.
Well, he signed up for 8 movies.
Him by himself. Yeah, well,
or 8 appearances,
wouldn't it be
say.
Cool if Hulk and Tony Stark went out, the two scientists, and then they're sort of working together.
You're saying we make Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas with those two?
Yeah, or something like that, or maybe they could do something like The Sting, you know, something like they carry off a big scam.
I think you could do another Hulk movie, but it better be the best damn Hulk movie ever, because 3 strikes and you're out, as far as that I'm concerned on that stuff.
I'm 1 strike and you're out, but Hulk will have a chance. Unless it's so bad, it's like, unless it's got potential. But I think they could really do a good Hulk movie if they stick with the comics. And that's the problem with the other two movies. They just, la la la, comics. Who needs
so what, the comic has had many incarnations and many, many things. Sometimes it's, you know, Hulk is working with other heroes. Sometimes Hulk is the Bill Bixby Hulk where he's on the run. What Hulk storyline from the comic do you think would translate into a good movie?
Probably the one where he fights Andre the Giant.
I like that.
I'm getting my Hulks mixed up.
No, I like, during Free Comic Book Day, which I hope everybody listening participated in, I caught in on the deals and I bought Essentials Hulk 1, and so I'm reading literally the first 8 issues right now.
And so what was
the... I think that's great stuff. It's just like he's trying to hide it. He can't control. What was nice about the original Hulk is he just didn't get mad and turned into it. It kept changing as he tried to cure himself.
Okay.
And there was like one time he couldn't change back into Banner, one time he turned back into Banner, but he was ripped. You know, and then, of course, there's the classic, when he turns into Hulk, he's Banner. When he turns into Banner, he's crazy savage.
Sure, sure.
And the Hulk didn't just run around screaming. That stereotype has stuck along forever. But the Hulk was actually pretty articulate. He was just a really grouchy guy that didn't like anybody.
Well, there we go.
There you go. That's a little Hulk lesson for you.
So let's move on to the next Nerd Roundtable topic.
Next topic, please.
One of Jared's most anticipated films of the summer, G.I. Joe Retaliation, was suddenly delayed until March 2013.
I hate them.
Paramount said it was to allow for a transfer into 3D with some additional reshoots. But people are a little skeptical by that press release that they put out last week. Is there more to the story? And what does this mean for the film and the property of G.I. Joe? Jared!
I don't know if there's... I mean, it feels like there should be more to the story because... I mean, we're talking less than 2 months before it was supposed to be out. And they decide, we're pushing it. Well, was it up against something? I have no idea as far as schedule-wise what it was up against.
What was the release date?
Like June 29th or something like that?
That's pretty close. Well, I guess Dark Knight's the 20th.
Yeah, it's a month. The Dark Knight's in July. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean it would have had time to do its thing.
Part of this is that the U.S. is now a smaller chunk of the pie when it comes to movie grosses. And 3D films, I mean, this is the company line as well, too, but 3D films do a lot better overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it is possible that they think that a conversion to 3D will be allow it to make more money in the overseas markets. I don't know. Maybe they see a better release window in March of next year. Yeah. It just seems
unusual for a movie like this, but
it seems like a long time to make the conversion and a long time to delay it. Why would you not just delay it till the fall sometime, maybe?
Some of the stuff I've read is that, you know, the rumor is that Channing Tatum is, you know, he plays Duke and he dies in this movie.
Yeah.
And that maybe they're trying to bring him back because that's how they're sort of writing off the first movie, is they're going to kill or otherwise make all those other characters indisposed, with the exception of like Snake Eyes or something like that. So the idea is like, now this guy is super popular. Right. We need to get him back in the in it.
That makes sense. Honestly, I mean,
well, the last time I heard something like this was with Green Hornet.
Yeah, when does this ever lead to good things?
The conversion to 3D, when they think that, you know, it doesn't cost them that big of money to do that, and so when they do that, that's literally just upping their ticket prices. That's the only reason. That's why
it's all about money.
It is, and that's why a lot of these films converted. Yeah, it is a business. I'm not saying saying that's the logic behind it. They probably look at it and say, we're not going to get that much money. I know there's talk saying that they're spooked out by Thor, by Avengers, but by the time
it's bogus
because Avengers is starting to die down.
What do you think? Avengers was just going to continue rolling in through June and fuck them up?
No, I doubt that. That's ridiculous. You've got other movies coming out before that.
I think something's not right.
They're going to do some great film.
I think they looked at the final thing. They said, this is terrible. We don't like it. I think there are going to be some major reshoots.
Earl's on record with major reshoots. I don't disagree with that.
I mean, the trailers look fun, but trailers are trailers. You never know how that.
You put all
film.
The best bits.
But I don't know why they're freaking out, because this is the first time everybody looked at the trailers and said, even me was like, oh my God, I think they're actually going to make up for it.
I mean, you have to think about how this impacts. I mean, G.I. Joe is a toy line, first of all. So they've got a whole toy line. They've got all sorts of things that are tied into this, which are literally just starting to appear on toy store shelves now.
Hasbro's the one wait a minute, why didn't you talk to us about
this? I'm curious of what Hasbro had to say about this, how involved they were in that. They must have been. I mean, they're an equal partner in this, aren't they?
Maybe. I mean, they're good. They've already talked about, you know, they're just going to basically sit on this stuff until next year for the most part. It sucks for them, because then that's revenue projections that they can't no longer count on.
And there are sections of toy store aisles, Targets, Walmarts, that have G.I. Joe blocked out. Now we're not going to sell it. What are we going to do with that? That's not going to make those places
happy. I think the stuff that's there is going to stay and sell, but hold on to it.
Don't find old stuff.
I don't think that this necessarily has anything to do with it, but do you think there's anything to the fact that Battleship is a Hasbro property that tanked?
That was another possible rumor that, us.
I don't know how they would necessarily be connected, and why you would say, well, G.I. Joe was a Hasbro thing and Battleship sucked, so let's not go see it. It doesn't make sense to me.
No,
but
it doesn't make sense. Well, Battleship is also Universal and not Paramount.
Mm-hmm. Still.
At the theater, we have a joke. We call it Hasbro Movie 5.
That's what you're calling what?
Battleship.
Battleship, gotcha.
The fifth Hasbro film. But even then, but I think it's just...
otherwise known as the best Transformers film.
That's what I call it, the best Transformers film.
No, you know what? It actually has a plot to follow. I watched some of it in the theater.
We saw it, girl.
We reviewed it.
We reviewed it.
Oh, man.
We liked it better than we thought we would.
Like I said, the first half hour...
Friend of the show, Thomas Trump, called it Battleship.
Once it showing up, it actually is not that bad.
Yeah, it has a wonky charm. That's
but I think most people look at it and go... Battleship, why would you turn that into a movie?
It doesn't make sense.
And if you do, why would you make it Space Aliens?
G.I. Joe makes sense as a movie. final question. We got to move this along, Earl.
Yeah, right. We are.
2013 March, is G.I. Joe going to be a good movie? Earl.
No.
Jared.
I'm still going with yes.
Shane. If I have to say yes or no, I'm going to say no. It's not going to be good.
But I want it to be good. I want it to be good, too. I want a good G.I. Joe film.
Okay, this is this last question of Nerd Roundtable. I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm curious.
Uh-oh.
Feelings about the Amazing Spider-Man movie. Earl.
Man, I tell you, I am up in the air.
You and I are probably on the same page on this.
We're just like, when I first saw it, I'm like, hey, this looked pretty good. And they had, you know, it slowly won me over, even though Spider-Man's costume has that weird look at my crotch.
Yeah,
pointing
basketball type look to it.
Yeah, just kind of goofy.
WNBA basketball. Like,
yeah, and then they say, oh, by the way, remember that plot you hated in the comic? Which one? Oh, the one where Peter Parker's parents were spies, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, you're going to bring that back? Yeah! Why?
Because they know that they feel like they have to do an origin type story, and they don't want it to be the same as the other three.
No, that's why they're doing it.
And they're tying it into the Ultimate Universe a little bit as well, which has a slightly different take on his origin.
Right, right.
I don't have a problem with that.
I guess I don't either. I'm just kind of curious to see where it's going to go. I do want to see it, but I'm very 50-50 on it, because the first one, I didn't like the first Spider-Man film. I liked the second one the best.
I agree with you 100%.
But they just...
You and I did not like Power Ranger Green Goblin.
No.
And then and then Raimi totally screwed the pooch in the third one. I didn't like that movie at all.
I haven't felt the need to go back to three musical numbers in that movie.
That would be my one-line review. Spider-Man 3 equals three musical numbers. One star. Bam!
And too many villains.
Jared. Your take on Amazing Spider-Man.
I'm just not, you know, it's something I will see.
Yep.
But I'm really not that excited. I've seen the new trailers, and I haven't watched, like, the mega four-minute one, but it's like, what's the point? The look of it doesn't inspire me. I'm sort of not really that excited about any Marvel character films that aren't part of the larger universe at this
point. I agree with you 100 million percent.
That bothers me.
But they're in a different movie company.
I understand that, but...
Make it work anyway. It only benefits every movie company that decides to tie that together.
Okay, I'll disagree with that, because I loved X-Men First Class. That's my favorite X-Men film.
So do I.
I still have issues with that movie. I watched it again this past week. And,
interesting.
Good, not great. Maybe the
best
X-Men movie, but I still think there's a better X-Men movie to be made.
I mean, we've seen what a superhero team movie can be with the Avengers, and I think that is the bar in every X-Men film. The next X-Men film has to be in that ballpark for it to be any good.
Okay, so you know,
but we're getting off topic.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to that, but Jared, keep talking about Spider-Man.
I'm okay with Andrew Garfield.
I think he looks great as Peter Parker.
Yeah, he's fine, and I was a little unsure about what he was going to do until... Honestly, his Comic-Con appearance last summer kind of won me over when he told his story of how he was a big Spider-Man fan. He showed up in costume in the audience.
And so I think he gets it. He's better than Tobey Maguire. I think.
I thought Tobey Maguire was good at the time,
I thought he was a little miscast. I thought he was a little too serious of an actor for it.
Yeah.
I honestly wanted, in a weird way, got my wish when I wanted the kid from that 70s show who went on
Topher Grace.
I thought he could be Peter Parker.
He
should have totally been Peter Parker.
Never Venom.
Oh, okay, right.
But I agree with you.
You know,
I think that's perfect.
Hit it on the head. I think now Jared hit it on the head. I start to realize it now because I haven't thought about it in a while. I was excited originally, but the more I see it, the more I'm like, I don't know.
My feeling is that if you're not, my
trend was like, this is a terrible idea when they first announced it, to like, this could be good, and now I'm like,
Jared's making an arc. Yep.
Jared's going down the other side of the bell curve. I'm on the downswing again.
Yes. That's kind of where I'm at, I guess. When does that come out? July? June?
I don't think it is. I think they're going to push it back to 2015.
So let me list
in 3D, so I don't think they can use a 3D conversion story on that one.
I'll list my problems with it.
Yes.
I think that the character design, everything I've seen for the Lizard is not inspiring to me.
He needs a lab coat.
One of the implications in the trailer is that the Lizard is using like chemical warfare to maybe turn people into lizards.
Yeah, that seemed weird.
I don't get that at all.
I'm hoping the movie explains that.
Somehow you have to make the Lizard a threat to the larger population, which is, I think, kind of hard to do.
No, you got to be able to. You just need to write a smarter movie.
Okay,
I mean that's what you. I mean, every Ultimate Spider-Man comic that I've read that for 12 years now. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lizard didn't have to do that. They made him a villain in other ways. More of a threat to Peter Parker.
He's a threat to Peter Parker, and is a threat to the world
or to the city.
For some reason you have to do that in a superhero film.
Why do you have to turn other people into lizards? Like, did we not learn our lesson like in Godzilla where they had little baby Godzillas running around? We don't need it.
That movie doesn't exist. I don't know what you're talking about.
I am questioning, and we talked about this in a prior scope. I'm questioning the whole concept of Peter Parker maybe genetically made to be Spider-Man before he was bit.
What?
Like he was destined. They sort of teased that in the trailer. Maybe that's wrong.
That part.
You were born for a greater purpose. That kind of thing.
So if that's the case, I don't like it.
No. That's bad. Bad news there.
I don't have a problem with we've talked about the actors. Everybody I've seen it looks great. The thing that really made me sort of clinch up, you know, a tight anus, as Borat would say, was when I watched the big 4-minute scene that they had on, it was either like, I don't remember. I don't know what show it was. It was the. I think it was on The Voice.
Anyway, you saw the 4 minute clip.
I saw the 4 minute clip, and it was of Peter trying to. He was on the Brooklyn Bridge, and the lizard was doing something of toppling cars over, and he was trying to save people that were. He was literally holding cars suspended with his web,
yeah.
And then trying to go into the car and pull them out. And I got to tell you, the special effects looked bad.
Hmm.
I mean, it was took place at night so they could hide the stuff. But it reminded me of some of the Spider-Man special effects in the first movie and some in the second, where it just, you know, like you have Tobey Maguire in costume, looks great. And then he runs, the shot changes, and it's clearly a computer-generated Spider-Man running and doing all sorts of stuff where it just didn't look quite right. Same type of thing.
I will throw this out as a devil's advocate. Sometimes when you film a movie in 3D, the effects look terrible in 2D. And I noticed this when we had Thor at our theater, but it was only in 2D. And I was like, the effects look terrible. But then I finally got to see the whole thing in 3D, and I was like, wow, the effects are great.
That may be the case.
That could be the case. I think sometimes, because they filmed it in 3D, correct? It wasn't one of these conversions?
Yeah, it was.
Yep. Yeah, effects sometimes just look terrible when it's in 2D, and I learned that through Thor.
All right.
I think people are over effects anyway. They don't care if they look, as long as they're close enough, most people are like, whatever.
Well, I think we're getting so close nowadays where, I mean, like Earl said, Hulk finally looks real. We're at that point, so you can do that. I mean, effects are less of a deal breaker.
I just think a lot of people don't care that much, as long as it's good enough.
Okay.
You and I and Earl and most of our friends are a little more discerning.
That's the problem with America. By the way, back to Jared.
Yes.
I agree with his statement that as long as you have X-Men and Spider-Man and Fantastic Four and all these characters living outside of the Marvel movie universe, it makes them much less compelling. Want it all together. I think that a company like Sony could say, you know what, let's put a cameo of Captain America in New York City or something like that. Let's wink and nod and bring the stuff together and see what we can do with it. Because could you imagine a X-Men versus Spider-Man, or X-Men versus Avengers, like based on the comics that we have going on? Could you imagine if Fox and who did the Avengers?
Disney
did that. They got together. Do you know how big a movie like that would be?
Distributed by Disney, but Paramount did it, didn't they?
I think it's both of them.
Anyway, go ahead.
I'm just saying that that's what you want to see.
Yeah,
that's the holy grail.
It doesn't do any good for the studios to keep them separate. The only thing you can do is improve the audience's reaction to them by including bits and pieces of the other characters if you can.
Do you think that people would be more excited to see a movie like that? Tony Stark pops in at the end of Amazing Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Well, see, I think I was going to say it would be smart for the film company to say, hey, tell you what, we'll put your guy in our film, you put your guy in our film.
Oh, you've got lawyers involved.
Partially lawyers, but the main problem you have right now is since Disney bought it all, that's why you're having such a giant explosion of Marvel films. Everybody's making these films so they can hang on to their rights just a little bit longer before Disney finally acquires them.
Well,
I don't care.
I don't think Disney can acquire those films as long as they're being made. I think that's contractual.
What I mean. They're going to keep making them so they don't
lose them. Amazing Spider-Man, I believe, was made to keep hold on to the rights.
I'm just saying that as long as they keep making, they can't get them back, right? There's no saying
it depends on
in 2020 you're getting X-Men back no matter what. I don't think that's the case.
Right.
I think Marvel kind of sold them out to make sure that they could do the Avengers.
But they need to make it work somehow.
Yeah.
Because
what I'm amazed
at, if you get the idea that all of these characters cohabitate in one house in New York, and that's when things get real. In the same universe, even though they're across studios. It just benefits everyone.
Everyone wins.
And I agree. I got to say, though, even though they're made by different studios, a lot of the Marvel films still all feel like they could still be together without changing anything.
Yeah, they
have... With the DC films, I'm like, I don't see how any of this can come together.
They have the realism that works.
Yep.
And the DC, it's you know, Batman is so realistic that's sort of the one that's catching everything up.
Now tell me, everybody here at the Scope, looking forward to The Dark Knight Rises.
I'm looking forward to it. But I still think Avengers was my go-to movie of the summer.
Really?
I don't have a half chub for it, but I am looking forward to it.
Yep.
I'm more on the Batman. If I had to pick between Batman and Avengers, I probably would have went Batman.
There's just no joy in any of the trailers. I realize it's supposed to be really dark, but it's like, it just feels oppressive right now.
I was doing that, and I just watched two TV spots, and I'm like, okay, that's the Batman films I know and love. Okay. I agree. I watched the trailer, I'm like, God, Bruce Wayne looks like he pooped his pants and is sitting in the corner. What's going on here?
Yeah, but plus it's like, where's Batman?
I'll tell you, the new trailer has Christian Bale just comes in and goes, get me back in the game. I'm like, yeah, the Batman I know.
All I can say is Memento is like one of the best movies ever, and any guy that makes that is going to make a good Batman film.
Yeah, well, like I said, check out the two new TV spots.
Well, he's already made two. I don't think we need to go back and question Christopher Nolan's record.
Yeah, just check out the two new TV spots. Those have more of the feeling of the other two films that you like.
All right.
And that's what I'm happy about.
All right, final word from Earl. There we go. So, Nerd Roundtable, guys, wrapping it up. Great, great conversation. We've got a lot more scope coming up.
I will say the trend has been set.
So, let's listen to music, and we'll be back with reviews and coming soon right after this.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it!
Once again, mining the current Song of the Day feed. That's thecurrent.org, 89.3. This is Yukon Blonde with Stairway, right here on the Scope.
I'm hoping that I could be home right now. The feel of the breeze, the smell of the trees under my brow.
Everybody, let's start to Under the Scope this week with reviews. What?
I still wanted to play that sounder.
I loved it.
What are we talking about, Shane?
We're going to do reviews. Today, Jared will be handling the reviews, and it is for what movie, my good friend?
Shane, we're taking a look at reviewing.
You should audition for the part.
I should. we're taking a look at Men in Black 3, the sequel to the blockbuster. I got a little text here to read.
Was there a remix of the theme? That's all I want to know. The Will Smith.
No, there was some Pitbull song at the end. I left, though.
Everyone loves Pitbull.
So Men in Black 3 is a 2012 American 3D science fiction comedy film starring Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones.
You know, Shane Brolin.
I don't figure where this, but this film is a sequel to the 2002 film Men in Black 2.
I don't understand that.
It was released on May 25th, almost 10 years after its predecessor and 15 years after the release of the original Men in Black.
Timely.
It also stars Josh Brolin, Emma Thompson, Alice Eve, and Jemaine Clement of Flight of the Conchords. Yes.
Jemaine. Did they do a roll call?
They did not do a roll call.
Yeah.
Barry Sonnenfeld returns as a director and Steven Spielberg returning as executive producer. The film is the third installment in the Men in Black film series, which is based on the Malibu/Marvel comic book series Men in Black.
For the record, it started at Malibu Comics way before Marvel ever got involved with it.
Oh, yeah.
So suck it, comic book nerds.
Didn't Marvel buy Malibu, or did the titles move over?
They did buy Malibu, but yeah. I don't know if Marvel released any more than maybe one or two Men in Black comics.
I'm crying now because, one, I remember almost buying that comic, and now I know it was 15 years ago.
I know. Well, 15 years ago when the first film came out.
It was Men in Black.
I know that,
the comic came out way before that.
Yeah, that way comic shop that used to be over on Lindale, that little one. I remember it's like the guy's like, hey, check it out. It's not too bad. And I look at it, it's like stick figure drawings in it. I'm like, I don't know.
That first Men in Black, for the record, probably could have come out before 1990. Very good possibility.
Might have been.
I got a quick plot synopsis.
Do it.
Of MIB3. That's the stylized MIB3. An alien criminal kills the young Agent K in 1969, altering the timeline, changing the agency, and placing the Earth in danger. Veteran Agent J, played by Will Smith, must travel back in time to 1969 to before the murder and work with the young Agent K, this time played by Josh Brolin, to save him, the agency, the Earth, and humanity itself. Jemaine Clement plays the bad guy named Boris the... He doesn't like to be called Boris the Animal, but they called him the Boris Animal a lot. Anyway, we've got a clip. In this clip, Agent K, Agent K notices something weird about the patrons of a Chinese restaurant. Here we go.
Table 1 hasn't ordered a thing. Table 3 over there just drank his fourth cup of duck sauce.
And Tommy Lee Jones just drank gravel.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah, I was waiting for the clip to start.
Lunar Max Prison, Boris the Animal.
How did you know?
He always had a taste for spiky boulevard. Give us a break, will you, Chief?
We're in a situation.
Yeah. I'll take the chloropod, you take the tyrannomy and the hydronium over there. I'll take whoever's in the kitchen and meet you on the street.
This is a very confusing time in my life.
A lot of shiny space guns.
I wish all the viewers could see what we're seeing right now.
Yep. That was Earl's reenacting the entire
clip. That was
clip.
The quickest clip I could find. So there you go. Men in Black 3 opened nationwide May 25th. Shane, what did you think of it?
Well, you know what? I will tell you that it's a movie that I was not very excited to see. So therefore, I haven't seen it yet. But although...
Fair enough.
I wouldn't mind seeing it. How about that?
All right.
But you guys did see it, so please talk about that.
All right, so... I am sort of a fan of the series. I own both 1 and 2 on DVD. I remember liking them well, but sort of haven't gone back to them, so I don't know how well they hold up. But, you know, the Men in Black series is basically a combination of the buddy cop film and the wacky alien film, right?
Yeah. I love that genre, the wacky alien genre.
You've got that. And so I was, you know, mildly amused by the trailers, and I felt a little bit of a nostalgia kick going, thinking that, yeah, I'll go see that. So I went and saw it. And while it wasn't a terrible film, it wasn't a super great film, it also was a little bit, wasn't a terrible film. It was sort of in the middle. There's a lot of things to like about it. Mostly, I think Josh Brolin as a young Agent K was fantastic. He nailed
spot on eye hair, Jared.
Yeah, and he sounds just like him, but he's a little happier. Not like super happy. I mean, he's never going to get.
Well, he's younger.
He's younger.
He's more virile.
And there's a reason he's happier. He's, you know, right. Certain things haven't happened yet in his life. So
he even said, he goes, why are you like that? I don't know. It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. There's a certain. You see at the beginning of the film that the older Agent Keyes has this weight to him. And it's understandable given how the story develops. But it's sort of not fun to watch. I mean, there's a certain. All the levity between Jay and Kay. That you may have enjoyed in the last films really isn't there, and Will Smith tries, but it doesn't feel genuine. It almost feels like he, I don't know. I've seen in some reviews where they say it feels like a paycheck film for some of them, and I kind of get that feeling.
Got
it. I gotta disagree with that. Okay. I really enjoyed Men in Black 3. The first one I thought was good but not great. The second one I didn't like, but the third one it's just like this. I really liked it. It was one I. That's one of my favorite films so far this summer.
And see, a lot of people are saying that, but for me, I don't know, it just didn't resonate. I felt like Will Smith just wasn't really... He tried to do the kind of the wacky Jay character that he did in the past two films, but after years of doing serious films, right. It doesn't feel like he can really pull that off anymore.
Well, I think the problem is that the script did not... It addressed everybody else aging but him. Because he's still trying to play the... I'm still fresh at this. What's still, this crazy alien stuff?
True enough, and he's still sitting there playing video games, and he doesn't have... Well, I guess you really can't have anyone in your life if you're a Men in Black. But
yeah, unless they work at Men in Black, as K&O
true
explained. But yeah, I liked it. I also liked all the little hidden stuff in the background, like the nod to the Men in Black pug. I don't remember his
no
name.
No pug in this one?
No pug in this one. But,
Jay has a giant poster of a pug in his room.
But the other kicker is when they go to a circus.
Yeah.
And in one of the background pictures, they have a picture of a pug, and it says, come see the amazing talking dog.
I missed that part. That's clever.
You know, there was a lot of little hints, and like if I was spending more time watching the monitors in the background in the agency, I was like, Tim Burton, I knew it! And me and like one other person laughed because we saw it.
I saw Lady Gaga as an alien, of course.
Yep. Now, the big one for all you 80s fans, if you love the old TV show Sledgehammer, who loves Sledgehammer?
Everybody loves it. I don't know a person that doesn't.
Sledgehammer himself shows up as the head of the agency in 1969. I'm like, he's got one scene. Look at him. There he is.
He got a little cameo by Will Arnett, too, in there, which is kind of fun. He shows up because after the big bad guy travels back in time and alters the timeline, Jay is the only one who remembers the old K, but apparently he has a different partner in this one, and that's played by Will Arnett.
And he's obnoxious.
He's sort of the scrappy new guy that Jay was early in other films, and now Jay is the, you know, I'm tired of your craziness, old guy. That's I guess, an interesting, you know, twist on the roles. But
sure.
The bad guy, I think, was probably one of the best bad guys the film series ever had. I mean, this guy was...
I was trying to remember what the bad guy was in the second film. Maybe you can remind me.
The first
one was the alien that crashed and then inhabited...
Turned into a cockroach.
It was the cockroach alien inside the suit of the man. Played by Vincent D'Onofrio.
And wasn't the second one the woman, the gal from Twin Peaks...
Yeah, but she turned into some crazy, ugly thing at the end, and it was just like they just stood there and shot at it. I'm like, that kind of boring.
Yeah, we
should have done better research, I guess.
Nobody remembers 2 because it wasn't that good.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I hear 2 is a. I saw it, and people remember it as a butt movie.
Yeah,
a noose movie.
But I honestly think this is my favorite film out of the three series.
Wow.
I love the idea of Men in Black.
I think you and I disagree
on
this.
I generally want Men in Black 4. Where Tommy Lee Jones falls into the fountain of youth and becomes Josh Brolin for the rest of the film series. Brolin stole that movie and ran with it like nobody's business.
The best part was when they were in the past. And they introduced a character named Griffin, which I thought was pretty fun, too.
Oh, Griffin is a
Griffin
great
is
character.
An alien who can sort of see all these different timeline possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So he's constantly like, oh, this is the timeline where this happens. Or maybe it's when this happens. And he was fun. He just was happy and that was a decent character.
Yeah,
but
he really kind of... The film needed that little boost.
Yeah, because otherwise it was getting a little too dark and sad-faced. Yeah. I don't know.
I think if the film had a problem, I think it was because they did not address Will Smith. You know, being with that agency for 14 years, he still shouldn't be acting like, you know, oh, look, crazy aliens, holy smokes.
I didn't even think about that, but I think you're right about that.
And there were some scenes, like when he figured out how to go back in time and he had the plan, it's like, okay, that's what we should be seeing more of him.
Sure. Actually doing Men in Black police works type stuff instead of just trying to be crazy and funny.
But you know,
which doesn't seem to work now anymore.
If you follow the Will Smith career, he'll have 2 big blockbusters, a crap load of duds. He disappears for about 3 years, and then he comes back with something safe like Men in Black.
Well, you've paid a lot of attention to his career.
Actually, I watched his biography, and Earl, he pointed that out to me.
Will Smith expert.
He knows his stuff.
Hey, Nightmare on My Street.
So, I mean, the plot is decent. It's they do some... I can't talk about it without being spoilery, but right. they kind of do something, and they explain sort of the relationship between Jay and Kay a little bit more fully.
And it really knocked... For me, it knocked it out of the park when you get that little clincher.
I thought it was a bit contrived, and, mm-hmm. and sort of like, why do films and stories need to do this sort of stuff? But I guess, I mean, it explains things at least.
I think for me, I was thinking it was going to end a different way, so that was kind of maybe one of the things like, oh, this is going to happen. No, it didn't. I like that.
Interesting.
Okay,
I like the dichotomy of review here.
Yeah, I mean, from an effect standpoint, it's, you know, it's like the Men in Black films in general. Sometimes the effects are really neat and they really work, and other times they're just they look kind of slapdash and not really well executed.
Did you see it in 3D?
I did not.
Neither did I.
I did not want to spend the money for that. And
yeah, like I said, I think going back to the 3D theory.
I just think like the Men in Black films are just the sort of thin films where they get to the good enough level.
Right.
And they just call it a day.
There we go.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how it is, so.
Well, let's see how your score ties in with that statement.
All right.
The Scope score is 1.75 stars.
Wow, 2.
I told you, it wasn't great, it wasn't terrible. It was just one tick below average.
I'm gonna
two being an average film on the Scope scale.
I'm gonna
go
2.5 to 3.
2.5 to 3. So right.
just to voice opposition.
And right. A little bit of clarity on history here.
Yes,
the Men in Black comic book was created and published by a company called Aircell Comics, which would later be purchased by Malibu Comics.
Wow.
Ah.
3 issues were published in 1990 to start it. That mm-hmm. was the first year it came out, and then it was adapted with another 3 issue series following the next year in 1991. Marvel then bought Malibu in 1994, and then Marvel published 4 Men in Black one-shots in 1997, corresponding with the first movie.
How many of those great, great Malibu characters have survived today in Marvel's lineup?
None. There's none of them.
Considering Men in Black are the only Malibu characters I know.
I think they're... Well, Malibu had a superhero... line called the Ultraverse,
yep.
And I think a lot of those are tied up in legal issues, so that's why Marvel would like to bring them.
I think I have some Ultraverse action figures.
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to say, oh, I didn't know that. Okay, Ultraverse. Yeah.
So there you go.
How would they be tied up in legal issues if Marvel bought them? That's sort of strange.
I don't know.
You know, all it takes is one creator being a dick and saying, all it takes is two people to say, I created it. No, I created it.
Okay, well, guess what? Nobody's going to make any money.
Nobody's going to make any money.
But, yeah, that's why we're still waiting for Buckaroo Banzai 2.
There we are. Well, guys, great review.
There might be other reasons we're waiting for
that. Because it isn't 1986 anymore.
Yes.
Let's push on to Coming Soon.
What is Coming Soon?
I got a list of music, DVDs, movies, and video games.
Video games?
Video games.
Video games.
Let's see how many of these artists...
What are you snacking on over there, Earl?
These are Hershey's Cookies and Creams drops.
Fancy. All right. Back to you,
Shane.
I'll
try to stay away from the mic. I'm sorry.
No, music. I was just curious.
Music for May 29th, guys. American Idol, I don't know if she's a winner or second place contestant, Crystal Bowersox. Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros have a new album with Here. I loved
some
portions of their last album.
Like them.
They were just on the Current yesterday in studio, and they were really, really good. The songs that they played. Earl's favorite band of all time, Insane Clown Posse, comes back with the Mighty Death Pop.
The what?
You know what? You may not like their music, but I got to respect what they've done as far as community building.
The Juggalos?
And creating a market for themselves. It's impressive as hell.
It is impressive.
I will support anything that creates a trailer trash world.
Bam, you got those guys. Public Image Limited.
Take that, Insane Clown Posse!
Public Image Limited's got a new album, as does Regina Spektor. Sigur Rós. The Walkman, very hit or miss band with me, and Scissor Sisters, back with their third album, Magic Hour.
Maybe I've never heard of them.
Or no, fourth album, I take that back.
Fourth album, I've never even heard of them.
June 5th...
I've heard of all of those artists, by the way, Shane. Just throw out my cred.
That's why I put it there. June 5th brings Earl's second favorite artist of all time, Alan Jackson, with 30 Miles West. His third favorite artist, Bobby Brown, with the masterpiece. He's already proclaiming what it is.
Are you trying to ride the death of Whitney Houston wave?
He must be. Late 80s, early 90s, hair metal band L.A. Guns comes back with Hollywood Forever. The Hives have a new album, as does The Temper Trap, which had one of my all-time favorite songs in their last album.
Temper Trap just sounds like a pretentious name.
They're not. Well, they might be a little pretentious.
It's okay.
But they have one.
On a scale of oh, goodness. I was going to say, no, I can't even think of anyone. Never mind. I was trying to think of the low end of the scale. The high end was going to be Arcade Fire.
Okay. Low end would be Debbie Gibson.
Debbie Gibson to Arcade Fire. Where do they fall?
I thought everybody liked Debbie Gibson.
I think you could even find even
more. How about this? We'll say an Arcade Fire is we'll call it the astronomical unit of pretentiousness.
Yeah. I might even say what percentage of that? The National might even be more pretentious than Arcade Fire.
Maybe. I mean, have you heard their song that's going to be in Game of Thrones, The National?
No.
Okay. They actually recorded the song that's mentioned in the books called The Winds of Castamere.
Really?
Or The Rains of Castamere.
Yeah, I think they're pretty pretentious.
They are a little bit. But they're good. I like some of their stuff.
Yeah.
Continue.
I do too. Movies, June 1st. Let's see if the Avengers can beat one of these two films, Snow White and the Huntsman. I'm actually kind of thinking that movie might be sort of interesting. I gotta tell you, the commercials seem intriguing to me.
I saw the trailer before Men in Black, and it was like, this looks kind of cool.
Yeah, like this is
and
how
I'm not
it should
like
be
a
done.
Big Kristen Stewart hater like some people.
No,
are.
I don't.
No, I like her.
I've only seen her in like Adventureland, and I thought she was decent in there.
I loved Adventureland.
I liked her in Zathura. I can't remember how you pronounce it.
I never saw that.
Never saw it.
It's good.
Also, a big movie that's going to be hit with all the families, Piranha 3DD.
Oh, I'm totally in. I love the first one.
3DD, huh?
The first one was great, and I'm totally seeing that in 3D.
Well, you have to see it in double D.
Besides the obvious reason to see it, 3D movies and water take great because the water gives you no background, so the people are literally like floating over you. And then these fish come out and just chew the shit out of them.
There you go. June 8th brings up a very tricky weekend for me because the movie I want to see is also tempered by the movie my daughter wants to see.
Oh.
My daughter wants to see, I'll take that back. I want to see Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted, and my daughter really wants to see Prometheus.
That's a tough call, man.
Yeah. I know where my camp is.
I hope we have
Camp Prometheus.
I hope we have
a... In fact, I just watched Alien last night in anticipation.
I hope we have a babysitter that weekend. DVD, we've got a bunch of stuff coming out on May 29th. We've got Goon, which is Sean William Scott? We need to talk about Kevin, which was a Tilda Swinton film.
Who?
Tilda Swinton?
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 Yes.
She's that creepy broad?
I thought it was Tilda Swinton. Sweden.
No, it's Tilda Swinton. That's Swinton.
We don't
Swinton.
Know.
Come on, motherfucker!
And then also, in anticipation for this coming, the next season hitting on HBO, True Blood Season 4 hits.
Just go audition for that. Anyway.
June 5th, Curb Your Enthusiasm Season 8 hits.
Hey, another one, huh?
Breaking Bad Season 4. Falling Skies Season 1.
Wait, when is... No, wait, this is DVD. Never mind.
DVD. John Carter also hits on June 5th. I want to see John Carter to see.
Man, that movie got that wasn't that bad.
That's what I feel about it.
Terrible marketing, though. That's the problem.
This is a movie that probably is bad. It's Journey to the Mysterious Island.
No, thank you.
I might have seen that tonight.
Good luck for you.
Video games, week of May 27th.
Yes.
Not a lot hitting this summer, but we do have a new DLC pack for Batman Arkham City. Harley Quinn's Revenge.
I've seen the trailers that feature her CG ass.
Nice.
Apparently, that's the selling point.
That's not the selling point for most stuff.
Oh, okay.
And June 3rd features Earl's most anticipated video game of all time. I will name the two, and you tell me which one it is.
Yes.
First one is Inversion. And the second one is The Sims 3, Katy Perry Sweet Treats.
Ooh, I got to go with the latter.
Of course.
Well, yeah.
What is Inversion? I'm not familiar with that.
I don't
know
that one at all.
It's like some game where you're like walking on walls and shit. I don't know. It doesn't matter, Jared. We just have to have something for this segment.
I thought maybe it was like a game you might know about.
It is not.
Well, you know, if I got a chance to run
I'm still busy with Max
Katie
Payne
Perry
3.
Life.
Who and what now?
If I got a chance to run Katy Perry's Life, I'm not going to argue that.
You'd probably like walk her off a bridge or something.
Sure. No, I don't hate her that much.
I don't hate her either. So what do you say about that?
Did you guys hug it out?
I'm just blown away. Like,
we'll do an air handshake.
There you go.
If only the streaming cam was working.
I know. These moments
devil
will be
horns.
Captured forever.
So there we go. That's what's coming soon. Under the scope. So the grand experiment for a short episode has led us where, Jared?
1 hour, 14 minutes.
Well, we're doing better than we normally do, but not by the 45 minutes less than I thought it was
going to be. Well, here's the thing is, I've got an awful lot of emails to get to.
Really?
For some reason, we got a bunch of email responses in general and over the last episode.
Well, hit them.
I'm actually glad Earl's here because he's going to have probably a dissenting opinion on this particular one.
Okay.
Michael David writes in. He is Ren Mike D. He's the guy over at the. He's a friend of the show.
Well, way to fumble through that one.
Thanks. Hey, Scopers, I wanted to weigh in on the stadium talk. This is sort of old news because it's kind of over and done here, but we can still get some opinions here. I'm completely against public funding for any stadium. First, LA is not a viable option for the Vikings. There's absolutely no support for a public-funded stadium there. Second, the idea of having an NFL team has some intrinsic value to a city seems flawed when you consider LA is still LA. Houston certainly did not suffer any identity crisis when the Oilers left, and Cleveland is still crappy. Cleveland without with or without the Browns. There is one flaw. Houston did go and get another franchise.
Yeah. Almost immediately.
So, he says, in Pennsylvania, the state and local counties paid for the majority of the four facilities built for the Phillies, Eagles, Steelers, and Pirates. The amount of revenue doesn't offset the debt service the cities and state are paying. Plus, since the Pirates took the money and ran, I'm not sure what that means because I'm not familiar with the Pirates, really. So,
I'm going to say they took the money and then they didn't. They're not putting out a team that's viable, maybe?
Probably.
Pretend, I don't know. The Phillies, actually, after two decades, finally invested in their team. Why do these two ownership groups deserve to be bailed out? Anyway, let's just say I'm against it, and while that money may not go to anything else, it shouldn't go to stadium. Shouldn't go to a stadium that only enriches a very small minority of people. Other than that, it's great to hear the show on a regular basis, and I hope to check it out live in the next one. Well, sorry we blew that one up. Technical difficulties.
Blame the monsoon.
I'm still trying to get a consistent thing for the live thing.
I think I got knocked out of the park.
I think there's some sort of electromagnetic interference with that pick-em-up truck outside, Jared.
Or bring up the live field. Like that pick-up truck in E.T. Yeah.
Blaming the shitty truck. I love it.
I think that guy hit it out of the park.
Wow, Earl is even using a sports metaphor to back up the statement.
I can't even believe
that's
that.
Amazing.
My head is going to explode. How does that work?
I don't know how to do this stuff.
Any comments on that, Shane?
No, I don't have any comments.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what.
I don't have any comments. I've said everything.
I think the state
say
should pay for my movies and comic books because it's something I enjoy doing.
That's not the same. It's not even close to the same.
Well, they're not paying for us to go to the game.
No,
they're just
buying
facility. Is it going
to take my money to go do this? They should send me a free effing ticket.
How many people in this state enjoy your comic books and your movies?
So this is what I hope for.
You know what? The group people
I'm just saying. It's not the same thing.
Why should I have to pay for the people that I may enjoy comic books? So do other people. But why do I have to pay for somebody else's entertainment?
Because in this world, we pay for many things that we don't enjoy and we don't use.
Don't use that argument. I'm going to stick with the topic. The point is...
It's the same thing.
No. What I'm saying is, if these guys are...
Turn his mic off. We're done. Next.
No, I'm saying, you know what? If they can't pay for it themselves, then they find another way. But these guys make more money in a day than we will see in our lifetime. And then here I am struggling, and I got to foot the bill for these guys. Where are the 99%ers yelling at these guys?
Jared. Oh, they were. Don't worry.
Oh, good.
Yes.
You say something now.
Oh.
Yes, Jared.
The
Let's
problem is... If we didn't pay for it, somebody else would. And maybe that's okay with some people. I wanted to have a team here, so I'm sort of in the middle on that. I kind of agree that we shouldn't necessarily spend what we're spending on a facility when certainly the ownership group can probably afford it all on their own.
Yeah. We can't afford to tow trucks off the road, for Christ's sake.
Think about it. If we weren't building this stadium, that truck would be gone.
It would be.
And the streets would be paved with gold.
Yeah, I don't... In all fairness, Earl, I'm with you and Jared. I do think that there is a sense of unfairness to it. I agree with you. But like Jared said, I like football. Right. I think that football enriches more people than it disservices. And what are you going
to
do?
I'll disagree with that. Because every time I go downtown, I end up having to pay triple for parking just to go to work. I have to deal with drunks. And every time there's a game on, all the businesses in my area... are empty.
Okay.
Where do you work that's close to...
Well, the movie theater is next to a bunch of bars and restaurants, and the area is just deserted when...
But you're across the river, too.
It's not exactly in
the area.
Still.
Okay.
Okay, well,
but
that's fair.
I mean, it's just like, if you're going to do your own thing, then you should pay for it, and if people want to pay for it, pay for it. I think pay for it through tickets. I don't even know why building a stadium is going to suddenly magically make them a better team.
It's not. It has nothing to do with it.
No.
Then they're fine. They have a stadium. Too damn bad.
I would say this, Earl. I felt like they should have built a casino to support it. That's what I think. I think you should have gambling, and then you should take half the profits from that. You put it toward a stadium, take the other half, and you put it towards education or something like that. Because gambling is...
Well, the thing is, though, if you educate people, they won't gamble, so it kind of defeats itself.
That's so not true.
I know.
We're going to move on now. Luke Ski has an email. A lot of points here.
This is where it's really going to get fired
up. Real quick, Luke Ski and I went and watched Garbage Pail Kids, the movie, and we just reminded ourselves how bad it was.
Did you watch that? When he was here?
Yeah, when he was in town. We came to the theater and we watched it, and I was like, both of us had a weird version of what we thought the film was like. And then we watch it like, this is not what we remember at all. We blanked out a good chunk of this film.
You have to say that it's amazing that movie was ever made. Even as popular as they were, it's amazing that movie was ever made.
But it was like a common error. Sorry, what does the great Luke Ski have to say?
He has nothing to say about Garbage Pail Kids, that's for sure.
That's not a Garbage Pail letter? Luke. I thought that he had mentioned it.
No, this
don't
is,
love me, Luke.
This is a lot of Sandler stuff here, because we kind of bashed Adam Sandler in the last episode. as the dementia community's foremost Sandler apologist, I wanted to say that post-Happy Gilmore, Sandler's best movie is probably Little Nicky. I would disagree with that.
Little Nicky's better than Punch Drunk Love?
No. Not at all.
That's my boy. You mark my word. That's my boy is going to bring back Adam Sandler.
Okay, here we go. We got more.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Huh.
That is a head scratcher.
He goes on. I also really enjoyed the film he did with Disney, Bedtime Stories. Also worth giving a chance are the two done in cooperation with Drew Barrymore's production company, The Wedding Singer and 50 First Dates. All right, The Wedding Singer, I'll give you that. That was decent.
But he
was playing a sporting role in that. It wasn't an Adam Sandler film, right?
No, he was the lead in Wedding Singer. He wasn't like wacky Adam Sandler. It was a little bit more normalized, I think.
What about 50 First Dates? Any opinion? I never saw it.
I saw a piece of it.
Was he in that movie? I don't think he was in that movie.
I guess so.
No, Drew Barrymore could only remember stuff for 24 hours, so he had to introduce himself 50 times to get her to fall in love with him.
Oh.
Clever.
Let's watch that.
That's why I'm around here. I can tell you about movies I haven't even seen.
Luke Ski continues.
Oh, yes.
I liked Judd Apatow's Funny People, but that bombed because movies where the main characters are comedians that are supposed to feel sorry for... for never do well.
That movie is a really polarizing movie.
I need to see that.
I can tell you the people coming out of the theater on that one were
50-50.
All over the place.
Other examples of this are Punchline and Mr. Saturday Night, the latter of which is a big favorite of mine. Luke Ski loves Mr. Saturday Night. I believe that's a Billy Crystal film.
It is.
I believe it is. It's not fun. It's not funny.
I'm looking forward to the forthcoming CG animated feature, Hotel Dracula, where Sandler voices the lead character of Dracula.
That's actually a clever idea.
Hmm.
Yeah. But he's voicing a character. There's a difference.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Old comedians never die. They just do voices.
Yep. Well, thanks for the Adam Sandler stuff, Luke. Glad to talk about that.
Well spoken, well written, Luke. Even if we don't agree with it all.
I'm glad these things tagged here.
Who's your favorite Garbage Pail Kid, Earl?
Messy Melvin.
I'm surprised you even thought of one.
I don't want to read this one because I think it's a nice touching thing. Adam never really got back to us on whether or not this is going to go down or if he even saw our forwards of the email. But I want to read this because I think it's fun and it's a nice little bit of engagement with our fans.
And it made me laugh, by the way, out loud when I read it.
Wow, and you never laugh.
This is from Brett. Brett says, "Hey guys, huge fan of the show. I don't have Twitter, so I can't contact Adam directly, but I would appreciate if Jared and Shane pass this on to him. I remember on a recent show, he was plugging his appearance in Columbus this month, and I'm heading up there. And I'm heading up there from Cincinnati to see Neon Trees next Wednesday, the 23rd. If he's still going to be around that day and has any interest in the band, it would be an honor to buy the worst Jew ever a ticket to the show."
Yeah, you didn't know it very well.
"The Scope has been my favorite podcast ever since I heard of you in Metro Buzz Trivia." Metro Buzz now back.
They're back.
Hey. MetroBuzzPodcast.com. Check
them
out.
They're on fire.
I heard you on Metro Buzz Trivia for the first time, and I'd love to meet any of you guys. No homo.
I love that. Made me laugh. No homo.
"I realize there's a good chance no one reads this until the next recording, and you guys will ridicule me on the show." Cue Tom Cruise laugh. Hold on. Where is he? Play it.
It's right here.
No, that's not it. There it is. Just for you, Brett. It started with a whisper. Thanks, guys. I started with a whisper as a reference. Was that?
I have no idea.
I think that was the start of the fanfic that John Norton wrote between of you and I.
Gotcha. That was
the slash.
That
fic.
Was disturbing.
I think that's
that was
the
like
reference.
50 Shades of Grey. The earlier.
Ah, my brain is burning. I've known you guys too long for you, or something like that.
Anyway, Brett, thanks for writing in. This letter was awesome. It's nice to know that you've stuck with us this long and that you actually want to meet us in person. That's great.
If Adam did not get back to you, we apologize.
He got emails. I forward it to him, and I just haven't heard if he got it or not. So, hey, it's on Adam if he fucked it up. Free chance to see Neon Trees and meet a fan.
Yep, animals. Yep. We will rip him a new one the next time he's in. We'll make it a point to ask about it. Just because I'm curious.
Indeed.
The love story.
Good grief. I think that is my last email, which is good because I'm running out of music here. This has been a long comment section.
Well, we're really doing it up.
Right. If you want to write us an email, you can write us at comments@thescopeshow.com. You can call the voicemail line, 612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673. Yes, Earl, even you can call in. Don't fall
Holy
asleep
smokes.
Over there.
I have to be drunk. I usually call in when I'm drunk.
You can give us a thumbs up, like us, whatever you call it on Facebook these days. We have a Facebook fan page. You can also follow us on Twitter. All of that information is at the website, thescopeshow.com.
And you don't have to pay anything for Twitter. So, like our last emailer, you can get a Twitter account.
No, it's free.
No one's stopping you.
All takers. They will take everyone.
Earl, do you have a Twitter account?
Nope.
No.
I don't think Earl's cut out for Twitter. I don't think it's his
thing. You know,
Jared
said that, and that's like, I think he's saying that to challenge me to do it just to prove him
wrong. I actually think you could work well with Twitter.
Think so?
I think you could.
That's the sort of thing you kind of got to work at, though. I guess you don't have to, but to really get a lot out of it, you need to follow the right people.
Earl,
that's
the trick. The days of passing messages by tying little slips of paper to pigeons are over. Twitter is the way to be.
Smoke signal, man.
Smoke signal. I like that. I like smoke signal.
It doesn't work on a day like today.
It does not. You're not be getting a lot of messages across.
Mm-hmm. We're always looking for new iTunes reviews. I think we just got a new one in the last couple weeks.
I can't believe that.
I'd pull it up, but it's there. So thank you to the new person who reviewed us.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was very positive. So if you have positive thoughts to think about us, make sure you put them in there at the iTunes, in the iTunes store. And help us ascend the ranks of popular podcasting.
And we got a new Facebook image, Jared. I mean, we've got it all.
We do.
I gotta go check that out.
Yeah.
Did you see that one already?
It's been up there for like 3 weeks.
I saw that one. Yes, I did see that one. That was very beautiful. Kudos to whoever put that together.
I did. I did it all.
You're slick.
Right. You can also support the show. You can directly donate to us. There's a donate button on the website. $5 gets you a sponsorship of the show. You can also just shop through Amazon. We have an Amazon link on the side.
I think I'm going to buy something.
Yeah?
I'm going to buy something through Amazon this week that I will be presenting at our birthday party later in July, in June.
That is one of the most effective ways to support us. It's doing well.
So, I did it. So can you.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
All right. Well, Jared, thank you for all your hard work today. Earl, thanks for being on the Long Short.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to return.
I'm officially calling this the Long Short Show.
I know. It's like
I'm going to write that down, the Long Short Show.
We're at 1 hour, 27 minutes.
That's the one in the short of it.
I mean, we even cut out the news.
I know. We would have been here for 2.5 hours if we had done that.
Jared, I just do not know how we're going to do this new format. I mean, it's going to be discipline.
I blame Earl. He's a little chatty.
You lack discipline.
You didn't tell me we had that goal ahead of time.
I thought we had enough things cut out that we was going to... Whatever.
Our A
block wasn't quick. Our B block was long, 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 but good. And
I'm just excited to be here.
A lot of comments. We had a lot of comments.
The good thing
is
that we made sure the show was not funny, so you don't have to stop the podcast while you're listening and extend it.
I'm running out of the music.
All right. So for Jared, for Earl, back in the studio, thank you.
Bye.
Hopefully we'll all be back together for the next episode. We'll see you then.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, Buenos dias. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.